Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
The world is changing faster than ever, and you need a website to go with it. Whether you're a seasoned pro looking to build your following or just starting out with a brand new idea, you need a landing page that's bold, innovative, and uniquely yours.
Whatever your passion, you need a web designer with experience, panache, and heart. We can't help you with any of that. Hi, I'm Lou Bank.
And I'm Greg Benson. Are we Silicon Valley tech visionaries? No, we're podcast hosts, and that's basically the same thing. And we're here to tell you about Ancestral Agave Syrup.
Ancestral Agave Syrup is the 100% pure nectar of the agave plant. Now, wait a minute, you're thinking. I've had 100% pure agave nectar. Well, not like this, you haven't.
That stuff is processed with a diffuser, which introduces acid. Plus, it comes from Blue Weber, a monoculture that dominates farms, depletes the soil, and won't help you grow your brand or expand your e-commerce functionality.
Ancestral agave syrup, on the other hand, is made by slowly cooking down the pure agua miel from Salmiana agaves in Hidalgo and Tlaxcala, two states that have been harvesting those plants for generations. It also won't expand your e-commerce functionality, but it will grow your brand if your brand is person who makes kick-ass margaritas, or pecan pies, or pancakes.
Unfortunately, the families behind this tasty stuff are being offered big beer company bucks to rip out their agave and plant barley instead, which would be a crime, because Ancestral Agave Syrup is about as far from the processed stuff as 100% pure Vermont maple syrup is from that sticky bottle at a diner.
So, don't build a homepage from one of several easy-to-use templates, but do grab Ancestral Agave Syrup. Today, our first 25 customers will also receive a special limited edition agave superhero comic book. So do not wait. Protect the land, make better drinks, and save the bats by grabbing some today.
Wait, what was that about bats?
Yeah, it's an important food source on the migration path of the Mexican long-nosed bat.
Huh.
Yeah, the flowering stalks of the agave also provide protection from predators.
Oh, well, that's cool. Should we get back to the ad now?
Yeah, let's do that. Go to ancestralagave.com or click the link in the show notes to grab some today.
Ancestral Agave Syrup. It won't help you build a beautiful website, but it will make your cocktails taste really, really good.
I'm Lou Bank.
Ismael Gomez, Laika Spirits and Cruz de Fuego Mezcal.
Wow, that was very, very formal. And this is Agave Road Trip, the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave spirits in Rome, Mexico. Now, very recently, we had an episode, our 150th episode from season two, the last episode of season two. We had an episode about different tips for rules for the road trip, right? And one of the things that we brought up was Ben from Pensador had brought up ways to prepare for when you come into contact with police officers. Now, in all the trips that I've taken, I think if I do the math correctly, all the trips I've taken to Mexico, I think I've had run-ins four times with police officers.
I was in 50% of them.
Well, no. This was, you weren't in any of the previous ones.
Oh, I thought you said
four. No. But on this trip alone, and we're on day five. We've had three interactions with police.
I think so.
Yeah,
three
interactions with police. Now, the very first one came how soon after we got started on the trip?
Well, hold on. I'll take it back. Two with the police, one with the National Guard, which are considered different, just for the record. But yes, it's still some type of interaction with the authorities, let's call it.
Okay, with authorities. I like that. So the first one came how soon after we took off, Ismail?
If I'm not wrong, 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes.
5 minutes. And you said that you thought that was because they were afraid that a gringo had kidnapped two Mexicans? Is that right?
I'm afraid not.
No. So what was your theory as to why he pulled us over?
Well,
I don't know. I don't know how this police officer identifies. I should say they.
When I arrived to the car rental station to meet you, I spotted you because you decided for some reason to park the car outside, which is not a parking area.
No.
With the trunk open and you emergency lights, and you were sitting in the trunk, which, Lou, with all respect, you don't look necessarily Mexican. So it was really easy to spot you. My theory about this is that after we left
and we were sitting there. I was sitting there for probably 15 minutes before you showed up. And then you and I were sitting there for, I don't know, maybe another 20 minutes before Steven showed up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were ringing a bell saying, we're here, gringos, and we can give you some money.
I don't get that. I don't get how that's ringing a bell more than me driving the car and driving while white, I guess, if that's a thing in Mexico. Is that a thing in Mexico? I think that's a thing in Mexico.
It can be a thing in Mexico.
It can be a thing. Okay, so the theory is, because I was parked, in essence, illegally for a very long time in a very prominent place, a police officer said, hey, that guy, he looks like he might have some money to give me. Is that accurate?
I can milk that cow.
I can milk that cow. Is that a saying in Spanish?
No, actually, I just came up with it because it makes all the sense.
And it does make sense,
And I'm sure that someone in the U.S. or in an English-speaking countries doing it or saying it.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so he pulls us over and he says what?
He says something about us exceeding the speed limit, which we were going quite slow, but I might believe he was looking for a reason just to stop us.
You know what? When Chava hears this, he's not going to believe you that I was going quite slow, but I really was going quite slow.
We were going slow because there was no way for us to go fast because
there was traffic.
There was traffic. Yeah. So,
that's
why I believe it was for a different reason.
And he then says, okay, give me your license. And the next thing he says is, like, again, this was Spanish, but the next thing you told me that he said was that the fine was 5,000 pesos. Is that right?
5,000 pesos.
5,000 pesos. And I just started laughing, is my recollection. I'm like, no, bullshit. We're not paying. I'll give him 1,000 pesos.
Yeah. That's what you.
And you looked very nervous when I did that.
I was not nervous. I was trying to understand the situation because he threatened for him to take the car and compound it and for us to go to the court and pay the money, which was going to take us all day. And I believe there were options.
See,
for us.
Right. And I certainly did
get
too.
Out of the situation.
Right. Okay. So then what did we do?
We negotiated.
What do you mean negotiate? Like, literally, what was the next thing you said to him after
5,000 pesos?
What did you say? I mean, I know what I said to you, and I'm sure he heard it. And maybe he understood, maybe they understood English, maybe they didn't.
Well, very briefly, I tried to explain to him that we were just visiting, that we were not familiar with the road, which I can sure that he can give two shits about it. And
he wanted to see our passports, too, didn't he? Or was that the other guy?
No, it was the same guy.
Okay.
No, he asked for your driver's license.
Driver's license. Okay, license.
He took your driver's license, took it somewhere where you could not have access to it anymore.
Oh, I could have access to it. I'd jump out of the car and I'd take it.
Okay, I would love to see that.
I would see, well, but this is actually, well, okay, so that's the first one. We ended up, like, I gave him 1,000 pesos, and I think Stephen was a little bit nervous, and he thought, well, okay, I'll give him 1,000 pesos too. And you didn't kick in anything because I'm touching my elbow now and pointing at you. And so as he got 2,000 pesos out of us, and we got to go on our way. And he told us that we would be fine for the rest of the trip.
He said that he was going to make a couple of phone calls for us not to worry about in the next, I don't know how many distance. He was like, you just can keep going. Don't worry about it. I'm going to call the radio and saying that you guys already pay the toll.
So just to be clear, I'm not trying to tell a story here about what happened to us. I actually am leading to a point. And I don't know, and this is going to be, I think, the conversation between us. But I feel like we need to explain the interactions in order to have the conversation. So then the second interaction, I remember they asked to see all of her passports.
No.
What was the second one?
I forgot.
Oh, no. I remember. So the second one was when we were driving away from Cholula. And we had two in one day, right? It was like almost two within 2 hours driving away from Cholula. I started speeding, actually like really speeding, to get around a car that was sort of in the way. But then I hit a bump. And as we were exiting town, there were two cops standing there and they signaled us to pull
stop.
Over.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. So in the, God, it's so funny. I mean, this happened how long ago? Like a day and a half ago? Still hard to remember. But in that one, they wanted to see our passports.
Right. And I believe it's for the fact that they're also looking for illegal immigrants, but I'm not sure.
Right. But so, they kept asking, like, how do we know this guy in the back? Stephen, do we know him?
Oh,
is he with you? Like, of course he's with us. He's in the back seat.
Yeah. That was a very dumb question.
Yeah. But in this particular case, like, I feel like we were intimidated by that first officer. And in this particular interaction, I felt like we were being, at least I was being, even more vocally flippant.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. And then the third interaction, you know where I'm headed now. The third interaction with the immigration officer, the National Guard, where they pulled us over. We went through this giant gate that looked like Stargate. And your theory, and I think it was a good theory, was that they were trying to detect body heat in the back of the car to see if we were hiding any bodies. But they flagged us to pull over, and they wanted to see all the passports. And I was making jokes as I was going to the back of the trunk and just laughing with them and sort of making fun of the situation. And they were laughing, and they sent us on our way almost immediately. My point being, I think the real secret to getting out of these hairy situations with authority figures is to kind of joke with them, to make them laugh. This is future Lou coming back in to cut off prehistoric Lou, who thought the whole way to work the police officers was just to make them laugh. But in fact, a couple of weeks after recording this, after traveling with Ismael and Steven, I was traveling with my friend Rob Lopata, international pig man of mystery. Rob and I, we pull out of the airport same way that I did with Steven and Ismael in a rental car from Avis. We're driving along on the periférico, the main road heading into Mexico City. And Rob is peeking off to the side, and he's checking out this police officer on his motorcycle, and he's making eye contact. Now, I don't realize that at the time. He tells me this later, right? But I think the making eye contact was also a very bad idea. So, the police officer, he then starts giving me the two-finger pull-over sign. His light is going, and he's telling me to pull over. So I get over to that first lane, right? But Rob and I, we're in a hurry to get downtown so that we can have my favorite breakfast. And this officer, instead of just pulling off to the side of the road, I'm going to let Rob finish it from here. Rob Lopata?
Yes, Lou.
What happened?
Yeah, he wanted us to take an off-ramp. And I was petrified because I've been arrested before in these types of situations, but Lou was definitely not going to have any of it, and definitely seemed like he had been through this before, so he kept driving. And all I really remember after that is that basically I was asking what's the percentage of this guy actually coming back and arresting us along the way. So
and you asked that for about the next 2 days.
I thought it was the next 3 or 4 days, but my recollection's poor. Yeah.
Okay, and I suppose Rob is right. That police officer certainly could have come after us, but he didn't, which I thought meant I was a badass. But my friend Lydia, now Lydia Carey is a badass. She's a freelance writer and translator based out of Mexico City, and here's her story.
So we had a pickup truck, and it was technically considered a vehículo de carga, right? Which would be like a delivery truck or something like that, even though it wasn't, it was a personal truck of our own.
Yeah.
So we weren't supposed to be driving in the main lanes. We were supposed to be driving on the lateral. But when we moved to Mexico City, we didn't even have smartphones. Like, we didn't have Google Maps.
What's the year?
This was 2013.
Okay.
So we didn't have Google Maps. We always got lost all the time. And we would freak out about getting onto the lateral because we would think that we were going to get diverted and have to go someplace else. So a lot of times we would sneak onto the main carriles, you know, the main lanes and the highways or whatever, and we always got pulled over. And so we got hassled a lot by the police. They would pull us over, they would ask us for money, whatever. So there was one time where we had, like, everything in order with the truck, and this guy pulled us over and was like, you can't be in this lane, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, okay, well, so what is the, like, multa, you know? And he was like, it's going to be
what is the what?
Multa, like the fee, the fine.
The fine?
The fine.
Not the bribe, the fine.
The fine. That's okay. Mordida is the bribe.
Oh, see, gotcha.
Similar but different.
Yeah, who knew?
Right, so what's the multa? And he was like, it's like 2,500 pesos. So at the time that was like, what, like $125 or something. And so I was like, okay, can you give me a receipt? I'll pay it right now. And he was like, oh, the terminal, which is like the credit card machine. Oh, it's not working. We don't have a great signal right here. And I was like, you don't have a signal?
And you were where?
We were in the middle of the city. Yeah. We were like by like Satellite, you know? So he was like, yeah, no, the signal's not great. And I was like, oh, okay, well then let's go to the Correlon. The Correlon is like the impound.
Police station?
It's like the impound. For the car.
Okay.
For the cars.
Yep.
And they would be like, well, you know, if we take you to the Correlon, you know, we're going to take your car and you're not going to get it back till Monday. And I was like, okay, but they can give me a receipt at the Correlon for my multa, you know? And the guy was like, yeah, I mean, okay. And I was like, you go. I'll follow you. He had my driver's license, so I had to follow him. You know, I was like, you have my driver's license. Let's go to the Correlon. He was like, are you sure? Because we could just figure it out right now. And I was like, no, let's go to the Correlon. So he gets in his car. I get in my car. I follow him to the Correlon because he's still got my driver's license. We pull up outside of the Correlon, which is like this huge, it's basically a huge parking lot where there's like one woman and she's got like, she's in like a little desk, like behind like a plate glass window.
Yeah.
And basically. And we pull up to like outside of the Correlon to park. And he pulls up beside me and he's like, are you sure you want to do this? Because like, we could just figure this out. You don't have to go to the Correlon, you know? And I was like, no, let's go inside to the Correlon. I'm going to pay the fee and she's going to give me a receipt.
So you're at the place.
They're at the place.
And?
At the impound.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you know what? Never mind. And he just drove away.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Which just goes to show that sometimes you have to be a badass.
What does it mean to you to be a badass?
You just keep arguing. You just keep saying like, okay, we're going to do it right. You want to do it? Let's do it right. Fine.
So that's Lydia's advice, to do it right. But I'm going to cut back to her for the last word because I think it truly is the smartest assessment I've heard on how you should interact with authorities in Mexico. Take it away for that last word, Lydia.
In a game of chicken with the Mexican police, you have to be willing to be like, I will pay 5,000 pesos if it comes down to it just to prove you wrong.
You've been listening to Agave Road Trip, the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico. We're blessed with sound engineering by Roy Sierra and a theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Marco Ricos. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, well, I'm sure you'll let us know that too. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Agave Road Trip. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc. Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization using the power of educational storytelling about food to build a more equitable, resilient food system. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network might lead you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If you drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Drive responsibly. Eat responsibly, too. And listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive. Do not walk either. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to stretch every 30 minutes. If you stretch every 30 minutes, please stay within your defined stressing capacity. And consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you don't have a doctor, maybe Dr. Ryan Acock, the Cocktail MD, can help you out. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.